little letters down once again. Sorry about that. Let's jump into our first topic.
What is going on? Welcome back. And if you're new here, welcome, welcome. This is the Rogue Pod, and we're here to talk some Ravens news and a little bit of NFL news. How you doing today, Brodney?
I'm doing fantastic. And as you know, thank you for asking. It's amazing. Having an amazing day.
It is. It's very amazing. Listen, we've been blessing the people with a lot of great content. They've been seeing us all weekend long. And of course, we're here for one reason and one reason only, and that is to celebrate the Baltimore Ravens. So let's celebrate.
Celebrate. Not bad for a running back.
That's right. Celebrate good times. Not bad for a running back. The Baltimore Ravens advanced to the AFC Championship game after they defeated the Houston Texans 34-10 on Saturday afternoon. It's been over 24 hours now. Has it settled in for you yet, Brady? I know that you're a huge Ravens fan.
You know, seeing as how I'm not a Ravens fan at all, it settled in pretty quickly. Why did Lamar look like he belonged right in that band, in that clip? That's good. That's all right, though. But it was a fantastic win. Fantastic win. You know, finding out right now who their opponent's going to be, I don't honestly think it's going to matter too much, though.
You don't.
The Ravens are too good and they're too locked in.
This is factually correct. And the Kansas City Chiefs and Buffalo Bills are playing right now. The Buffalo Bills are up 3-0. What is it, late first quarter?
Yes.
Approximately? Maybe so? I'm not really sure. And earlier today, the Detroit Lions defeated the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 31-23 to advance to the NFC Championship game versus the San Francisco 49ers. And that's good news for us because what is that rumor? If Kirk Cousins beat you, you don't win a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
So even if the 49ers get to the Super Bowl and we get to the Super Bowl and play them, I think we're guaranteed a victory.
Oh, I wouldn't say guaranteed. Nothing is guaranteed in sports. You know, because look, you know, you mentioned that stat or that curiosity. I guess it's not really a stat. But, you know, by that same token, no quarterback and coach combo has ever won a Super Bowl if they didn't win it in their first 5 years together. This is year six for Lamar and Harbaugh.
All right, Debbie Downer.
I'm not Debbie Downer. I picked them to win the Super Bowl this year.
You had to bring that up. I didn't bring it up.
Because you're bringing up Kirk Cousins unfairly, I believe. And I don't even like Kirk Cousins. Y'all keep putting me in position to defend people I don't even like. But I just thought I'd put that out there.
Okay. All right.
Look, if you watched the game yesterday, ain't nobody afraid of Brock Purdy, man.
This is true. They looked terrible.
They did.
Shout out. Welcome to the Rogue Fam. Appreciate you. Listen, tonight, unfortunately, because the game is on and we want to go watch the game tonight, Brodney and I are Domino's Pizza. We have 30 minutes or less. We got to keep this stream locked in, get in, get out the topics. What, Brodney?
Oh, no, it's 3-3.
Okay, they tied up 3-3. All right, well, let's see who we got in here tonight with us. Of course, as always, my baby girl, my oldest, the love of my life, Jasmine. How you doing? Living big with Big Reg. What's up, Brandon Bizell? Brandon Buck, what's up, my man? Jada Six. Of course, Brodney's already in here checking his points.
Once I had to check.
I told you I gave you your co-host points, B.
Oh, and I checked.
You're welcome. Matt D's in the house. Appreciate you. What's going on, T-Will? Thanks for stopping by. All right, that seems to be it for right now. All right, let's jump into these topics so we can get in. 5 minutes have gone by already. For some reason, when you start talking and you start talking about the Baltimore Ravens, a winning organization, time just seems to just fly by. What?
Cool. Nothing. Let's go. Let's get it. Let it rip, as they would say on The Bear, which you need to watch still.
I'm gonna watch The Bear. Okay. I'm gonna start this week. Since I've done all the videos I need to do, got out all the streaming I need to get out. I had time to do it. All right, first topic. Cool. Let's discuss Lamar Jackson. Something about Lamar Jackson this postseason seems to be a little different than in the past. To me, he seems a bit more focused. He seems to exude his leadership just a little bit more than he has in the past. Could it be to stress? Could it be to all the factors that have gone into everybody saying, listen, you won one playoff game throughout your career. You haven't done well in the playoffs. You just look atrocious for a unanimous MVP. Brodney, Do you think that there is something different about Lamar Jackson this postseason?
Broke out atrocious on him there. I think there is. I think there's been something different about him all year. I don't think it has to do with people talking about him, about the playoff record and things like that. I mean, people have always talked down on Lamar Jackson, and I think likely we'll always talk down about Lamar no matter what. Brody, really? Come on, bro. But anyway, I think it's more of him just naturally, I don't want to say maturing because I don't think he was immature, right. But naturally kind of growing into that leadership role and being more comfortable, you know, being a vocal leader on the team. You know, he's in his sixth year now. Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes if you're younger and, you know, rookie, first year, whatever, you don't really feel as comfortable on a team that has a lot of veterans already. So I think it's more just him kind of growing into that role over the last few years.
I agree. I think it was nothing more apparent than last night during the game, during halftime, when he went up to Coach Harbaugh and Coach Monken and said, listen, we need to change this offense. What we're doing in the first half is not working for us. We need to stop doing these long developing plays. I wonder where we've heard that before. But he went to them and said, listen, they're blitzing 60% of the time. I can't wait for receivers to get 20 yards down the field while this, if you want to call it an offensive line, tries to hold up.
Wow. Wow. They made a point during the broadcast of saying that they were one of the best lines in the league.
Who were the broadcasters?
Troy Aikman? I believe it was Sir Troy. And listen, now Troy's been known to have a little drink before he gets on the air. But I'm just saying, like, they made a point of saying how great the Ravens O-line has been playing. And they have been playing well recently.
For the most part.
Yeah. Not as much early on, but I don't know why you got to be hating as Hendo today. I mean,
I'm not hating.
On the way to the AFC Championship.
How am I hating? Lamar was yelling at his offensive lineman during the game. The
heat of the moment, Hendo. You don't even know what he was yelling about. Okay?
He was yelling at Ronnie Stanley for not blocking the right person.
Maybe Ronnie stepped on his foot. You don't know.
Okay. Also,
unless they were mic'd up, we cannot know.
We might, if you listen, wait until Ravens Wired comes on. We'll find out.
Yeah, well, I mean, the show will be over, so that's fine.
Okay. Also, one thing that stood out to me in this game, outside of everything, and I don't know if everybody caught this, Lamar was audibling at the line of scrimmage a lot, especially in the second half. And for us Ravens fans, that's something that we really haven't seen from this offense. That's something we haven't really seen from Lamar, because in the past, under Greg Roman, it's pretty much whatever the call is, get to the line, oh, snap, 3 seconds left on the clock, run the play. So to me, I think he's taking control of this offense. He's taking control of this team. And to me, it's just, he's on a whole nother level. He's going to, or he's trying to make good on that promise when he got drafted by the Ravens, saying, listen, I'm going to win Baltimore a Super Bowl. They're going to get that out of me. And I don't see Lamar as a liar.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, yeah, you have credit to Todd Monken as well, because, you know, good and great OCs know that when you have a quarterback like Lamar, you know, like Mahomes, like Allen, that relationship is more of a partnership. There's the give and take. You got to take that quarterback's input, and you got to give that quarterback kind of more freedom than you would a younger quarterback or a worse, like a Jared Goff type. But, you know, and I think Todd Monken has embraced that. I think they're working well together, and I think that's why you see the offense not really – I mean, they had a little lull, you know, when they were getting blitzed heavily, you know, and they weren't necessarily ready for it. But outside of that, you see the offense is not looking like it has in years past, where it's kind of like, okay, we scored once, let's go 8 drives without getting any points.
Right. You know? Yeah, and I think that was the biggest difference this offseason with his leadership, and credit to Coach Todd Monken, especially with his second half – adjustments that in the past it was pretty much, oh man, special teams gives up the touchdown and now we're in a funk. Up, oh, we went 3 and out on 3 straight drives. Now, up, oh, we're going to try to be a team that we're not going to be. So to me, I think that and Lamar's leadership is what led us in this game, and it's going to also lead us into this next game versus the Chiefs or the Bills. Now, next up, what do you think are the things that the Ravens need to do, or things that they need to clean up in advance of this AFC Championship game?
Really just the slow start that they had against Houston. I don't think that they can really afford to start that slowly against either one of these teams. outside of that, I mean, I think that was pretty much it. I mean, the defense is playing lights out against Houston. The offense is playing very, very well. You know, I think maybe they try to get Dalvin Cook a little more involved earlier on, but you know, I think they got to go out there and just play their game. They're in a really good place right now.
They really, really are. For me, little slight things. One, I think they need to stop with the O-line carousel. I think they need to stop just rotationally bringing in offensive linemen just to bring them in, because Fa'alele, he's not it. And I know that's your guy, but listen, that guy can play three snaps and have the worst grade ever for PFF. Even though PFF isn't the end-all, be-all, your man is not getting it done. Mekari, no. If you have guys that are playing well, unless they're injured or hurt or winded, then I can see why you would take them out. But in this case, they're just trying to rotate them, get them some experience just in case it's not working. It may have worked partially versus the Texans, but as we go along in the playoffs, it's not going to get any easier. Another thing that I think the Ravens need to work on would be their passing game. Now, granted, Lamar wasn't required to pass a lot and get big stats. But going forward, we talk about this all the time, Rodney, when you start playing these upper echelon teams, you need to score. And you can't count on your defense every game to pitch a shutout. You need to score points. And yes, we are a run-dominant team, but I do think that we need to get the wide receivers more involved. Zay Flowers was our leading receiver with 41 yards. And where was Odell Beckham Jr.?
He got his catch. But this is why I said on the show yesterday that they should be very happy to get Mark Andrews back. Because right now they don't have a guy who's a consistent possession type receiver. Because that's not really Zay Flowers' game. Right. Odell is, I don't know. He can't play a full game at this point, maybe, is what it's looking like. And Bateman has also not shown to be that guy, right? But you get Mark Andrews in there, and we all know that Lamar loves Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews has played very well with Lamar and for the Ravens over the past several years, and he can be the guy who is just moving those chains for you, and maybe his presence, assuming he just runs the routes he's told to run, can open things up for the other guys who can make bigger plays.
True. So you don't think that Isaiah Likely needs to get more involved?
I think he's involved an appropriate amount. I think that you can play two tight ends. I mean, Buffalo's playing two tight ends right now, right? It's not a problem. Todd Monken played two tight ends at Georgia the last couple of years very effectively. I don't think it'll be an issue for them. But I think Mark Andrews is too talented to keep out.
Okay. And also, you forgot about don't lay a finger on my butterfingers, Nelson Aguilar.
Wow.
Like,
you mean, I'm sorry, the guy who had the touchdown catch for you, the first touchdown? Is that who you're referring to?
Okay. Yes, and also the same guy that jumped in front of Zay Flowers, ball hit him in both hands, and he was just like, don't lay a finger. Not today. I think that's the frustrating point about Nelson Aguilar. He can make spectacular plays. He's fast as hell. But then he just drops the easiest balls. Pause.
Okay. Buffalo just scored. They're up 10-3, or well, about to be 10-3. It's 9-3 right now. Josh Allen with a rushing touchdown. He's not a running back, though. Don't worry about that. Despite the fact that he had 15 rushing touchdowns in the regular season, that's just a good dynamic quarterback right there.
It is. Good dual threat.
I don't know why you have to come down on Nelson. Nelson has made numerous clutch plays for Baltimore this season.
Right.
Dare I say more than Odell. He hasn't been Nelson Aguilar and his mishaps this season. He's been Nelson Aguilar, guy who got drafted in the first round this season.
I would agree. Before the season started, I said Nelson Aguilar was probably going to be one of our better wide receivers.
Yeah.
He was, because he and Lamar have a connection, just his hands in the football doesn't have a good connection. Like, they just can't seem to stay together. They make up to break up. That's all they do.
I don't know why you got to be like this. I don't know why you got to be like this.
Let's go to Attitude Pop. So Attitude Pop says, next season, do we go after Mike Evans or Justin Jefferson, or should they draft another receiver? I'd go after Justin Jefferson, the best wide receiver in the league.
Yeah, I mean, if Justin Jefferson's available, you go after Justin Jefferson. If Mike Evans is going to be available, you go after Mike Evans. If T. Higgins is available, you stay the hell away. But they should go after another receiver. I don't think that at this point, I don't see Bateman being there long term. So I think that they do need to go after another receiver. But you know, for now, this is obviously the best receiving core that Lamar Jackson's had since he's been in the league, and they're good enough for right now.
Okay. Well, listen, the Ravens have until I think it's either May 3rd or May 23rd. I don't remember the date to pick up the fifth-year option on OA and Bateman. And I think this is going to tell us a lot how they feel about Bateman. Both of them. Probably so. But I think this is going to tell us a lot about how the Ravens actually feel about Bateman. I think he's finally fully getting healthy, and he's steady. Like, he may not be spectacular, but he's steady. He's going to get you 3 catches, 40 yards.
Listen. I'm not gonna let you get away with it, okay? Because my man Nelson Aguilar, on 45 targets, had 35 catches, 381 yards, and 4 touchdowns.
Yes.
Your boy Steady Eddie Rashad Bateman, on 56 targets, had 32 catches, 367 yards, and 1 touchdown. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but those numbers all seem lower with more opportunities. So
why they're not picking up his eyes.
So it's time to, you know, as our good friend Cowboy Ferris says, mosey on down that trail.
All right. Shout out.
You know, find get a new opportunity elsewhere and see if maybe he can turn things around.
Thanks. Shout out to Brandon Buck for the 420 donation. He says the fact that we will be first AFC championship game in ages held in a stadium other than Brady, Mahomes, and Manning as the home QB, go Ravens. Appreciate that, Buck. Listen, I know as an Arizona Cardinals fan, you don't know what winning looks like or what it tastes like or what it feels like. So the side that actually is. Speaking of Arizona Cardinals, on Cross, he said it's time to bring back Hollywood next year. I mean, that's if he wants to come back. That's if he hasn't burned any bridges. I'd take Hollywood back because Hollywood is a very good receiver. You pair him with Zay Flowers and bring in Justin Jefferson. Who's going to stop us?
Yeah. Nobody. I mean, nobody stops you now.
This is factually correct. The only people that stop us are John Harbaugh in his front office.
And him strong-arming Todd Monken to run the John Harbaugh offense.
And I think that when we started to make the turnaround was
guilty as hell, Yolanda. Just want to say that. Guilty as hell. Like that was such a man. That was a loaded jury last week. Guilty, guilty, guilty.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah, you good, bro.
Apologies.
All right. Apparently my internet's not, or StreamYard isn't what it's cracked up to be because I sound like I'm underwater. Do I still sound like I'm underwater?
No.
Well, I mean, not to you, to them, maybe.
Sounded underwater to me a minute ago. Now you're good.
Yeah, you didn't say anything.
I know, because I'm a professional. I worked through it, Hendo.
All right, Rodney. Tell me some things that you're looking for the Ravens to do against whomever they meet in the AFC Championship.
What are all these new segments? We're 19 and a half minutes in. You said it's going to be 30 minutes, and we haven't even gotten to the things that we do every week yet. All right. I don't know yet specifically, just because, you know, we're still waiting to see who they're actually going to be playing. But I am going to be looking for them, just generally speaking, to wow. Why don't you practice honesty, Yolanda? How about that? And integrity. I'm going to be looking for them to get after the quarterback, whether that's Mahomes or Allen. I think that's really the main thing. Like I said, they're playing very, very, very well right now. So there aren't a whole lot of notes. I would hope to see that O-line open up some more holes for the running backs, because the running backs are not good. And this elite run game that I'm hearing that phrase a lot, this elite run game of the Baltimore Ravens. And I look at the numbers and I'm like, I don't see it. And I watch the game, I'm like, I don't see it. And then I add in Lamar's numbers, and I'm like, oh, there it is. So I would like to see the O-line do a better job in the run game and get those guys some easier yards, because they can't get them on their own.
Gotcha. So in the same vein, I think the thing that I'm looking for is us to stay us. us to be the Baltimore Ravens and impose our will on our opponent. And that means run the ball. If, like you said, you don't see an elite run game, I see a run game that led the league with 156 yards per game. I see a run game that had 229 yards rushing yesterday versus Houston Texans. Now, regardless of you separate Lamar's 100 yards, that's still 129 amongst average running backs.
31 carries. But my point in separating it is they say elite run game, not to compliment the Baltimore Ravens, but to say, oh, that's, you know, Lamar has that helping him. And he doesn't. He doesn't have an elite run game helping him. They're like, oh, they got an elite defense and elite run game. One of those things is true. They do have an elite defense. He is the elite run game. So that's not a help to Lamar Jackson. He's doing that.
I wouldn't disagree.
I mean, the supporting cast is better than it's been at any point during Lamar's career. But you got to remember, like, they didn't have a single 1,000-yard skill player on that team this year.
This is true as well. Yeah. So, one thing I'm looking for is the Ravens to run the ball, because we've spoken about this before. The defense isn't going to stop everybody. The defense can't shut everybody down. I'm not expecting them to shut Patrick Mahomes down. I'm not expecting them to shut Josh Allen down. But if we can run the ball effectively, we can quicken the game. We can run the clock down and limit their possessions and hopefully score a few touchdowns like we have. Because when we score touchdowns, we score them in bunches. And then if we can run the clock out, it's an easy road to the Super Bowl. It's just if we stay ourselves. And there are times like yesterday, especially in the beginning of the game, where we decided, let's be cute and try these passes and try these things. And it got us in a lot of trouble. So if we can do that, that will help us out. And the last thing that I'm looking for the AFC Championship game is, shout out to the coaches, no shade at them, but I need them to make adjustments in game before halftime. Once you see that the ship is sinking, make adjustments then. Don't say, well, you know what, we're going to keep on chugging with what we got going, and then halftime we're going to go in and look at it and see what we can do. Because you do that against Mahomes, you do that against Allen, they may run up the score on you, and you may not have that opportunity to make those adjustments at halftime. So if we need to make adjustments, if we don't come out doing what we normally do, then I think that's something that really is going to take hold of this game for us. Yeah.
And Kansas City is on their way to scoring. Tied up there. Yeah, they're on about the 30, I believe. Mahomes just overthrew his receiver by a good 5 yards. I had heard that doesn't happen outside of Baltimore.
Good only quarterbacks. Only Lamar overthrows.
Oh, but there was a flag on the play.
That happens. All right, Bradney.
Withholding.
You talking about the game? I'm trying to get out of here.
Oh, is that what you're trying to do? Is that what you're trying to do, Hendo?
Yes. Yeah, so we're going to jump into it now. So, okay, Bradney. Bradney, let me know, who is your offensive play of the game?
I mean, I think obviously it's Lamar Jackson. He had 150 yards passing, 100 yards rushing, 4 touchdowns. There was no other choice to make there.
Facts. As I have the same thing, Lamar Jackson. 16-22, 152 yards, 2 touchdowns rushing, 2 touchdowns passing, 100 yards on the ground. I just think after halftime, he just imposed his will on that defense, and they didn't know what to do with him. He had them so flustered, they started bickering back and forth. Even had Coach D'Amico Ryans on the sideline like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to call. So, yeah, easy pick for offensive player of the game. All right, Bradney, who is your defensive player of the game?
I don't know. Are you going to put up mine this time, or are you going to go with Hendo's offensive player of the game again? I saw that.
No, I put yours up.
Nah, it said Hendo's at the top. Anyway.
Did I say Hendo?
The one you had. Oh, my God.
Right, because then I switched it. It's the same thing, so I switched it.
Oh, my God. All right, defensive player of the game. I went ahead and said Roquan Smith. You know, there wasn't big time plays from the defense, kind of like what we've been talking about all year. They're a team defense, right? Mm-hmm. They didn't have any sacks. They didn't force any turnovers. Roquan had a couple tackles for loss, but they just played well across the board and really stifled the Texans offense. They confused Stroud a bit. They did get after him. They did get some pressure on him, but you know, he's good about throwing the ball away, so they didn't actually get any sacks outside of that one intentional grounding penalty. I don't know why the players don't get credit for a sack when they call intentional grounding, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, I went ahead and gave it to Roquan. in part because of his play on the field and in part because he is the clear and obvious leader of that defense.
Man, you just stole my pick. You stole everything I was about to say, like you said. Okay. I think just because we had to pick somebody, but either way, I would have collectively picked the entire Baltimore Ravens defense because I think they all played well. And like you said, for the first time all season long, we didn't have a sack in the game, many pressures. What is it? One of those, Harrison. I think Harrison had a forced fumble, but outside of that, there was nobody that actually stood out in during the game. But like I said in the video before, I think Roquan's leadership, having both of our leaders available for this playoff game, with Lamar on the offensive side and Roquan on the defensive side, is going to make a big difference in the game. And just his presence alone, I think, made a big difference.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like I know we compare these teams a lot because they've been very similar recently, but it's like Carolina when they had Cam and Kuechly. The difference for Baltimore is they have actual talent outside of those two, whereas Carolina was propping up guys like Ted Ginn and Jericho Cotchery, and that's why they fell short. But Baltimore has real talent throughout the roster, so they're going to get it done.
True. Mahomes just overshot Kelce in the end zone.
Yeah.
Missed another pass, huh? That doesn't happen. No. All right, Rodney, give me your stock up, stock down for this week, please.
Stock up, I believe I went with Isaiah Likely, who's making big plays for him every week. I know I joke about how he's only played like 6 good games in his career, but you know, they've all been in a row. They've been, once he got inserted into the starting lineup, he stepped up and he's contributing. He's played very well for Baltimore in Mark Andrews' absence. Stock down is Gus Edwards, and it's Gus Edwards because he's the worst running back on the team. Let me say this. I shouldn't say he's the worst running back on the team. He played better than Dalvin Cook this week. Dalvin in his first appearance as a Baltimore Raven. But he's clearly worse than Justice Hill. Okay. He's clearly worse than Keaton Mitchell. And I think that going into this offseason, they should be looking to replace him.
Yeah, Derrick Henry's probably going to be on the market, so
yeah,
I wouldn't say no to that. All right, so for my stock up, stock down, being the game that we had, I didn't have anybody for stock down, honestly. My stock up was Isaiah Likely. He's been a touchdown machine these last 5 games. He told Lamar during the game, listen, they're too small. They can't guard me. Just throw the ball up. And I'll go get it. And that's exactly what happened. I think he's filled in adequately for Mark Andrews. And being that Mark Andrews never had a postseason touchdown, I think he has the leg up on him. He also has a little more wiggle than Mark Andrews once he catches the ball. Also, stock up, I have Ronald Darby. Go Florida State.
More wiggle than Mark Andrews.
Go Florida State. Ronald Darby. He may not have played the best game, but I think out of our defensive backs, he was one of the better. He was one of the better ones.
I wish I could mute you right now. This is disgusting that you're going. You're going nepotism here.
How's that nepotism? Listen. I was looking with Marlon Humphrey out. I was looking for Brandon Stevens to have a good game. He struggled a little bit. He didn't have a bad game, but he struggled a little bit. And I think that Ronald Darby in Humphrey's place, he picked up the slack. All right.
How many yards
did CJ Stroud throw
for? Man, like 170. Yeah, man, they struggled out there.
All right, Brodney, give me a good and bad and ugly.
I mean, say you wanted to give it to the Seminole. That's all you got to say.
Give me a good and bad and ugly for this game, Brodney.
There is something wrong with it, but you could admit it. The good is Lamar being very, very locked in. He's playing the best football of his career. He's been the best quarterback in the league, the best player in the league. And he looks like he's well on his way to getting that first ring, getting the league MVP, Super Bowl trophy. I can't believe you just put that up there. And Super Bowl MVP trophy. Gus Edwards has not played great. All right, let's stop. Please. But anyway, the bad was them just starting a little slow. Mm-hmm. And like you said, not adjusting end game, but kind of waiting for halftime to they were caught on their heels a bit and they didn't have an answer right then. It's not a huge deal, but that was the worst thing. And then the ugly, I didn't have anything for ugly because they're playing great.
They are. The good for me, Lamar Jackson's performance. All week long, all season long, we've heard about how he's played poorly in the playoffs and they didn't know if he could get it done. And he was going to be the first MVP to have two MVPs and have more MVPs than playoff wins. He went out there and showed everybody what he can do. When they put the game in his hands, he showed what kind of quarterback that he really is. The good also is we're going to the AFC Championship, baby. We're going to the championship, baby. The bad, to me, I'll have to agree. The bad was just a slow start. And I get it. You know, they haven't played in 20 days. And for them to just get on the field against that defense and against that head coach who is a former linebacker that played very well, I think that was the only thing. It wasn't really anything too heavy, something slight, but that was it for me. The ugly. Now, there is one ugly, and I know that we've been playing very well, and we're going to play well up until we win a Super Bowl, but the ugly for me is we weren't at the game. We didn't have tickets. It's the only ugly I got.
Disgraceful.
It is. It is.
Embarrassing is what it is.
Embarrassing. Stanley gave up zero pressure, so not sure how you say he was part of the ugly. Who said he was part of the ugly?
I believe that was...
I must have missed that one.
These are the bad. Jason, the bad is the left and right tackles. I don't see the ugly.
I mean, it's Carolina Panthers O-line is just so good. Not for you, Rodney. I wasn't for you. I wasn't for you. I wasn't for you. I wasn't for you. I'm sorry. I wasn't for you.
Okay.
All right, listen. It's still football going on. The game being played right now between the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs is going to determine who the Baltimore Ravens play in the AFC Championship game. Rodney and I are about to get out of here so we can go watch this game. Make sure y'all check it out so you can see what the opponents are actually doing. Buffalo is leading right now 10-6 with 9 minutes left in the second quarter. So check out some other football outside of the Ravens. Expand your mind, baby. Rodney, let the people know where they can find you and what you have going on, because I know that you'll be streaming for the next 3 days after today.
I don't like you at all very much. You can find me over on Lunch Break Hot Take on Wednesday evenings at 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time for the LBHT show, followed up by the overtime show for patrons. You can find me tomorrow on Sip to Tally Films with Hendo, my brother Jose, Chris Just Joking, and OTR Mike and of course Coach Evans for the Ravens Roundup. That's at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And then on Tuesday, you can find me and Hendo over on Suge Knight 323 with Suge Knight for the Steel Conspiracy. We're going to be talking Ravens and Steelers. And I believe that is about it. Sometimes, occasionally, you can find me on Ring Kings Podcast, depending on what's going on in the boxing world. You know, we live stream after major events. I don't think there's any big time fights coming up in the near future, but you know, this is kind of, it's early and we still got to wait for some of them fights to get made. But yeah, anytime there's a big time fight, you can find us over there.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. Like I said, you can find me with him and all of those things. Also, you can find me before Suge Knight 323 with my man, Mr. Galloway, talking all things hip-hop on Electric Relaxation with Mr. Galloway. We talk about old-school hip-hop, trends, things happening in hip-hop news. It is a really good time. Make sure you come check us out live Tuesday at 8 p.m. Also, I would like to take this time out to thank everybody in Ravens Nation. I don't know if it's because we collectively as the LBHT crew are getting better or it's because the Ravens are actually winning, but the support that we've been receiving as content creators, I mean across the board, everybody has been amazing, and especially for me this past week, you guys have put me over the hump. So if you're new here, make sure to like and subscribe. I think I am 11 away from 3600. This week has been really good to me, so I appreciate everything you guys do for us. Make sure that y'all stay tuned, because we come with content every day of the week, every day of the week. And if it's not us, we got Living Big with Big Reg, we got Jared over at his channel. Who else we got? Raven C, Engraven. Whom else am I missing? Yeah, we'll get him next time. So appreciate you all for rocking out with us. Make sure to like and subscribe at all of those channels. And also, if you want to hang out with us at the stream, if you want to be a part of this community, make sure that you go over to patreon.com/ROUG or patreon.com/LBHT or patreon.com/sip2tally. We all have patrons, we all have Patreons, and we collectively get together. So it is a really good time. It's a fun atmosphere. We are building a community. We're building a community of people. What happened?
I just remembered a while back when we were like, the Ravens are the best team in the league, and Lawrence Reginald was like, they're 17th in the league at best.
Those this is facts. Good times. Good time. But he did say he got right that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were good.
Yeah, they're not good.
They're not good.
They're not good.
All right, y'all. We are out, and
they're the best of the worst.
They're the best of the worst. We out, and we'll leave you with this.